Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Brother Melvin had to do some additional work down in Texas, and he wasn't able to get back in time, so I think we'll be seeing him Wednesday. So we didn't get that word until Friday evening, so that's why he's not up here this morning. Also, let's keep the Reich family, as was said in the prayers, in our prayers. I know that's a hard thing to see your daughter pass away.
Amen.
But, you know, in my card to them that me and my wife sent, and this is the way we all should be as Christians, is that we should grieve with them, but also we should be happy for our young sister's soul, that we know that her destination is going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, it. Unfortunately, we can say that for... Unfortunately, we can say that for our sister Whitney.
Amen.
But we can't say that for everybody. So, you know, we know that we have to be members of the church. And like we talked about in class, if we become unfaithful while as members of the church, and that connection to blood Christ is severed, and we pass away, that can't be said about us. You know, we can have all the feel-good funerals all we want to. Doesn't mean anything. God's not going to change his mind. If we're not faithful, even though we were members, God's not going to change his mind. So having a feel-good funeral don't mean anything. So we need to understand that. And that's kind of, and Brother BJ kind of touched on a little bit about parents teaching our children. And that's what we'll be talking about a little bit today. Parents, what are we telling our children? Are we teaching them about life and about the importance of being Christians? Because, you know, God has never told us the when, the where, or the how of when death will come. We don't know that. And as we see in the news every morning, unfortunately, we see a lot of young people dying. So it's not certain. I know we can look at our parents and we think automatically we're going to get as old as them. Not so. And it's not, you know, and these young people, not because, it doesn't have to happen because of violence, but young people can get sick too. So anything can happen just like it does an older person. So it's not guaranteed that we're going to get to old age.
Amen.
It's not guaranteed. So we have to teach our young people to use their time wisely and use it for the Lord. Because anything can happen at any time. So we have to really understand that. And if we're not careful, you know, we can be standing over an open grave, but you know where the grief is going to come from? It's not going to come from just that person has passed, that young person has passed. It's going to come more so because we know where their destination is going to be. And it's not going to be with the Lord. So that's the important thing that we have to teach our young people. So we have to really get on that. Ecclesiastes 8, we're going to be, since I'm up here, we're going to go to the preacher. And Ecclesiastes, that's the preacher. And we're going to see what the preacher says about a lot of things, about youth and so forth. And see what he says about the things that we should be doing in life, preparing ourselves. Ecclesiastes 8, 5 through 8, that our young, our newest young brother,
man.
Bryce. Did a good job, Bryce. And it reads, as he read, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel," or, sorry? Oh, okay, I thought somebody said something. "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel or know no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." We're to teach our young people Start being wise. Because to every purpose, there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Meaning that we have to be concerned about what we do in this life. Okay? Because, like I said, we don't know when it's going to happen, when death will come. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? We don't know. The Bible teaches that God hasn't told us that. There is no man to have power over the spirit to retain the spirit. We have no power to keep death away. It's going to come. We just don't know when it's going to come. Neither have he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Meaning that we can't use weapons in that war between life and death. You know, we're powerless. There's nothing that we can do to keep death away. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So, you know, being wicked, being evil, it's not going to keep death away. It just means that our fate is certain in what direction we're going to go. That's what that means. So, there is no exemption for anyone, young or old, from the final hour, the struggle between life and death. None of us are exempt from it. Every one of us sitting in here, that pale horse is going to come. That cold hand of death is going to come. It's going to put his hands on us. And that's going to be it. So we have to be prepared. So we have to understand that that time can come at any time. We can play if we want to. But, you know, that time is going to come, and we can't be like our denominational friends. You know, God is good, and he ain't going to let me go to hell or whatever. No, that's not going to happen that way. God is good, but God hates sin. So we have to understand, he hates sin. So God hates things, and he hates sin. So we have to teach our young people how to live a godly life. Because if they are not careful, when that time comes, then their fate is not going to be what we would like to see their soul to be. Now, there's a fitting time for everything. Let's stay here with the preacher. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, and we're not going to be here very long. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. And a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. In other words, what the preacher is saying to us is that there is a time for everything, and that we have to understand that what we do is being paid attention to by God himself. We have to use our time wisely. A time for everything. When it's time to come to service, it's time to come to service. Just like we were saying this morning, we can't make excuses about not coming. It's time to come to service. It's time to worship. When we get that battle cry to perhaps go out in a community with a certain group, it's time for that. Okay, that's part of it. You know, we talked about this morning, that Great Commission. What did Jesus say? He says to go. So that's our battle cry, to go. It's a time for that. So we had to understand that there is a time for everything. There was a time for us to be born, and there's going to be a time for us to die. So God just hasn't promised when that time is going to be. So just like when we plant plants in our yard, we plant them, but guess what? Pretty soon, it's going to be a time to take them up because the heat is taking them away, and they don't look pretty like they did before. So it's time to pick them up. So it's time for everything. And what we have to understand about our life here on earth is that, like the Bible says, our life is nothing but a vapor. It's nothing but a season. In other words, it's a short time compared to eternity. We have to teach our young people that the life you have here on earth, that 70 or 80 years, if we're lucky, that's a very short time to eternity.
Amen.
So we have to understand that eternity is a long, long time. And I think that each one of us would rather spend that with the Lord and not spend that with Satan. So we have to understand that there's a time for that too. So we want to do what's right in the eyes of God. Once we become members of the church, we want to stay connected to the blood of Christ. We want to make sure that we are pleasing to God so that we, when that time comes, and Don said it too all the time, we should know whether or not we're going to heaven. And if we have to think about it, then we're telling ourselves something. I'm not doing what I should be doing. Each one of us that are members of the church should know for certain whether or not we're heaven bound right now. If we can't tell that for certain, then we need to go back and really check ourselves, because any one of us can, anything can happen. So we have to understand that. So when it talks about that, we see it talks about everything. Well, that's talking about the actions of men. And when it talks about a season, let's talk about a fitting time. That's what it's talking about, a fitting time, a season, a fitting time. So everything, the actions of men, it can, and you know, the things we do can determine the time that we leave here. You know, we can't control some sicknesses, but you know, if we smoke, and you know, I imagine Brother Spencer will be talking a lot about that. But if we smoke, guess what we're doing? We may be cutting that time short that we have here on earth. If we drink, if we get that, what they call it, sclerosis of the liver, then the the hardening of the liver, then we're cutting our time here on earth. So, you know, we could do a lot of things that can cut that time. But rest assured that if we're not very careful, then we can leave here and not be in good standing with the Lord. And that, you know, it just makes me, you know, like I said, I grieve about Whitney. But in the condition that she was very sick, had cancer. But I'm so very happy for her. So let's go to the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And it even talks about it here in Hebrews, as it says, verse 27. And it says, Hebrews 9, verse 27. And it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We have to teach our young people that every one of us will go in front of that judgment seat. And there's going to be an open book to see what we've done in this life. And just because we're young doesn't mean that, you know, we are immune for doing something for the Lord. I had to talk to a young lady last week. Been missing a young lady. Come to find out the young lady had been going someplace where she should not be. Okay? My question was, nobody ever said anything to the elders. Nobody. And when she talked to me, It's like she didn't understand that it was something wrong with that. And, you know, that's kind of frightening to know that, you know, we have one of our young people here that is going someplace where they shouldn't, and nobody's saying anything. And that's not the first time it's happened. What are we telling our young people? What are we telling them? Are we telling them, you need to do this or that? And it doesn't matter how old they get, because I constantly talk to my sons and my daughter about making sure they stay in the church, just like a lot of us do. But sometimes we have some of our young people who just leave and nobody said a thing and nobody has let the elders know what's going on. So we never even get the opportunity to say anything to them until it's too late. So, you know, that's a soul that's lost. You know, and the thing about it, not only would that person be lost, but God's going to, you know, he's going to have some thoughts about the people who let that person go without saying anything, that nobody could say anything to him or anyone else. You know, that's not good. We should be teaching our young people. We see somebody who's not doing what they should be doing, then we should take that person to the side. That's what the Bible teaches us. Take that person to the side and teach them to do the right thing. But we just can't sit here and watch people not come and then, you know, that's that. And then we find out that they've left or whatever and nobody said anything. You know, that's a shame. And we need to stop that. I don't care what family they're in. I don't care about that. The family don't matter. Family is not more important than God. You need to understand that. So you need to keep that in mind. Now, what should our actions be when we are young? Let's go to, stay in the Ecclesiastes. Let's go back there. And let's go to the, the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. And it reads, truly delight is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, and they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. We need to tell our young people, don't get caught up in the things that happen out here in the world. Don't get caught up in the vanity of youth, because that can bring you asunder. That can bring problems if death comes. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in the out here with other types of not spiritual, but let me say religious works. Don't get caught up in that, because those are works of Satan. It's not God. Because remember, the Holy Spirit does not lead anyone into vain worship, and the Holy Spirit is God. So we just can't go off and worship someplace else, and it's not the church. That's not God over there, so we have to understand that. Now, the light is talk about, in here in these verses, talk about the gifts of God, which cheer us as we struggle in our youth. We are getting given gifts. Bryce read this morning. We have young men who can do a lot of different things. My young brother Rashad, just a few Wednesdays ago, he didn't know he was supposed to do the invitation, but he got up here and done a great job. Didn't even know he was supposed to do it. So that's why we train. That's why we read our Bible, so that if we're caught up on the last minute, then we can do something without any reservation whatsoever. And Rashad didn't have any reservation. So with me and Brother Melvin back here, we're talking to him. He said, "Oh, I didn't prepare anything." And we said, "Well, there's your Bible there." He got up and did it, you know, and he did a great, fantastic job. But that's the way we all should be. So keep that in mind. We should be ready at any time, because we got our Bibles. We got the sword. We got God's word. And the days of darkness in these scriptures, old age, sorrow, misfortune. Oh, if you live long enough, it's going to come. My brother Kenny here was talking this morning. Things hurt. Yeah, that's right. Things hurt, don't they, brother? When you get old, you know, and it comes, things start hurting. But, you know, we have to understand that that's what old age brings. Not going to be as spry as we used to be when we were young. But that's the important thing. When we're young, we need to be doing things for the Lord. Can't wait till we get old. And then all of a sudden we want to pop up and say, here, Lord, here I am, but I can't do nothing. So it don't work that way. Going to have some problems. I know I wouldn't want to be in that situation, you know, where I just did nothing all my life and all of a sudden I'm here. You know, it doesn't work that way. We have to be careful with that. Encouragement. The young should be encouraged to use their strengths and their gifts from God. And remember who those gifts came from. We have to encourage our young people. So my young brother, Sister Mitchell's son, you know, I told him, here, you need a job. So he's got a job now to do here in the church. So we'll begin with you, Bryce. So we want to get these young men busy. So we can't have people sitting. We need to be busy. So we need to do that. And judgment. If we are unwise in our youth, judgment beyond the grave is not a bright future, because we would have wasted a valuable resource, our youth. That's a valuable resource, our youth. We should use it. Do not fail to use your youth, because we all will stand before that judgment seat. God's going to have that book open. And we've got to explain some things. You know? We're displaying some things. And that's what we need to understand is that. Now, does this mean that we can't be saved outside our youth? You know, last time I did this, somebody asked me the question. Well, you know, old person can be, yeah, old person can come forward and be baptized. But it's not that. I just wouldn't want to put myself in that position, knowing I wasted all my youth and I didn't study my Bible, because I have no excuse for not studying my Bible when we got millions of Bibles everywhere. I wouldn't want to be in that position. So we need to be careful about that. Now, let's go to one more scripture in Ecclesiastes, where the preacher, let's go to chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's what we're talking about. While the evil days come not, old age, that's what it's talking about. When they say evil days, it's talking about old age. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And that's what we're talking about. When those aches and pains come and we can't hardly get around, we don't have pleasure in life that we used to. When we can't drive like we used to, we can't go up and down the stairs. Not as pleasurable anymore as when we was young. We just can't be hopping up and down stairs anymore. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Of course, your grinders are what? Your teeth. Yeah, that's right. We start losing some teeth. Some of us have lost all of them. So that's right. When the grinders are few, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond trees shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. That long home, wherever that may be, is two different places where the long home can be. Okay? So we have to be careful about that. And when they talk about the mourners, we know what has happened. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So, what have we just read? We just read about a person's life, from a youth to death. That's what this was saying. And what this is saying is, you know, is that age, you know, causes the body to bow. You know, you walk and you bend it over. Okay? Now, the keepers, those are our arms. The strong men are your legs. And as we said, the teeth are the grinders. And what are the windows? They're your eyes. And as we get older, what happens to those windows? Can't see as much. That's why it's very dangerous to wait, you know, until things start happening to all these faculties. The doors to the house are shut. This means because of old age, there's very little going on inside. In other words, and we have, and we know it as we get older. How much do we have common with, as far as with the younger generation? We say it all the time. I don't know why they do that. Why don't they turn that music down? Stuff like, and we say it. We don't have nothing in common as much as we get older. So that's what old age brings. And old age means that we don't want to engage high places like stairs. Old age means that fruit trees will flourish. Why? Because our appetite diminishes. We don't want to eat that fruit like we used to. May want to get on one and suck on it because don't have no teeth. But you know, that's, you know, that fruit stays on that tree. And you know, old age will cause us to move slowly, not quickly like the grasshopper. We see that grasshopper bouncing around. Can't bounce around when we get old. And desires will diminish. Desires for a lot of different things will diminish. We don't have those desires anymore. Life would end with the silver cord being loose. That's the end of life. That's what they're talking about. Or the golden bowl being broken. Or the wheel broken. That's the end of life. That's it. And the body will return, as we know, to dust after the spirit is separated from the body. So we must remind our youth that old age will do what? It will diminish opportunities to please God. So that's why it's very dangerous to wait until we get old. So if the golden bowl of life is not broken before we get, if the golden bowl of life is not broken before we get to old age, then we can consider ourselves very fortunate that we reached that old age. Our youth must understand we must strive to be pleasing to God while in our youth. So, you know, just think about it. If we get on that day of judgment and we stand before God, you know, and he's going to, you know, we got that open book for each one of us as far as our life is concerned. What are we going to say if he says, well, what did you do with your keepers or your arms? Did you do something with those in your youth? Did you at least do something with the trays to for the community to be served? How did you use your keepers? How did you use them? What about the strong men, your legs? Did you walk with some of the other Christians to go out and maybe try to spread the word of God? Did you do that? We just holding our head down, can't answer anything. You know, and you know, we have to understand that, you know, we're supposed to be using our faculties right now. We're supposed to be doing something in our youth. And we need to teach our youth that. It's not about going around and sitting down. And, you know, we need to teach our youth. They need to be pleasing to God. And pleasing to God means that we should be doing something. That's what we need to do. And, of course, that's a lesson for us as we get older, too. But we know, like I said, old age, as we get older, we can't do some of the things. We can't walk as we want to. We can't read like we want to. Those windows are dim now. Okay? So we can't do those things that we used to do when we had our youth. So we have to be very careful that we don't let our youth go away and not do anything for the Lord. And that's what we got to teach our youth. And certainly, I know that Don did that for our sister Whitney. So, you know, we should be happy as far as knowing what her destination is. But I just, I'm concerned for us who are still here. And that's what, you know, if you go to a funeral, like some of us, if you go to a funeral tomorrow, that's what a funeral is all about. It's not about the living. The funeral is not for, the funeral is not for the dead. The person's already gone. The funeral is not for her. Her soul is already left. When she died at last breath, her soul left. It's not for her. The funeral is for the living, so that we have a little time to mourn and a little time to grieve and a way to say goodbye. That's it. Because, you know, if I said one time in a funeral, remember back in the days when they had the wagon trains and they had to get across the mountains before they had snows in the mountain. But if somebody died, guess what? They put them away in a matter of a couple hours and kept on going. They didn't have time to have wakes. They didn't have time to let a person be there for days like we do today. Because they had to get across those mountains. So, you know, that's the thing. The funeral is for us, the living, to give time to grieve. It's not for Whitney. Her fate is decided, and she's in the hands of the Lord. So we need to understand that about a funeral. Never think the funeral is for the dead. It's not. We can't preach a person into heaven, so that's not what a funeral is for. So, and that's why a lot of times when we in the church, that's why we are not as emotional, because we understand about death. We understand the purpose of the funeral, because it's for the living, just to give them time to grieve. It's not for that person in that casket, because that's just the remains. That person's soul is not there in that casket. So for those who are not part of the body, just keep these things in mind about what we said. But to be a Christian, we need to be connected to Christ's blood. And we need to hear the gospel, as perhaps some of you have been in classes, and perhaps some have taught you about God's word, the truth. And we need to believe that. And we see this depicted in Acts, the second chapter, when they had that day of repentance on the Lord's Day in Acts 2. And we need to also understand that we need to repent. We need to turn our life around. We need to confess. And we need to be baptized, because it connects us to God's blood. It's not the water. It just connects us to the blood of Christ. And it's just in reverse of a baby who's in the womb. A baby in the womb, when that baby's born, they do what? They cut that cord. But when we are a new babe in Christ, what happens? We are connected to the blood of Christ. And we stay connected, because that's where we receive all of our nourishment as Christians, so that we can grow and become strong Christians. So we stay connected. And as long as we are faithful, we will always be connected. That's what the blood of Christ is for, spiritually. So we want to do that, and we want to be pleasing to God. And so keep these things in mind as we stand to sing this song of invitation.